talk about being inclusive, so often we mean come and be included in what we are doing.
Right, right.
Whereas we're saying we want the church to be accessible, which means horror upon horrors, we might have to change in order that they can then be included in the life of the church as a whole.
Well, welcome to Independence, that's the FIEC podcast, and we are here in Prestatyn. So it's the Independence podcast on tour.
Okay.
And we're in the very salubrious setting of the old laundry, which is certainly old.
It is very old, isn't it?
As much more you can say about it. And I'm joined by some good friends, Pete and Christine Wimmill. Lovely to have you with us.
It's good
to be
here.
Tell us who you are, first of all.
Well, I'm Pete Wimmill, and
I'm Christine. We've been married for 45 years. We have two adult sons and daughters-in-law involved in Christian work, and we have five lovely grandchildren.
Wow, you're ahead of us. You're ahead of us. And what do you do, apart from look after grandchildren?
Well, not as often as we'd like to, really.
They don't live near us.
They're in different parts of the country. But what we have done is founded a Christian charity that seeks to really put adults with learning disability in their rightful place in the church. So we're founders of that, and we train and equip churches so that they will help adults with learning disabilities not just to know who Jesus is, but to really know who he is for themselves appropriately, but then to grow in him too. And churches often struggle with that and say, well, can they become Christians?
Yeah, well, we'll come on to that. Okay. So it's called Count Everyone In.
Yeah.
And you run a track here at Word Alive.
Chris, we do.
Just tell us how it's been going. This is the first year back for Word Alive after a break. So there's a bit of loss of momentum. Tell us how it's been going over the last couple of days.
Well, doesn't God like to surprise us?
Indeed, yeah. That's right.
In fact, it's been very much the theme of our sessions. But whereas before the pandemic, we had a large group from a particular community who would come and join with us each year, we had no idea whether we would have one or 101 people joining us this time. Thankfully, it's been more than the one.
Okay.
But it's been not quite the 101.
No.
But the enthusiasm, the engagement, the way we've seen people after a three-year break, they've really grown in who they are and who they are in Jesus. And we are having a wonderful time. We said to the team, if it's just us, we will carry on and we will worship and we will pray and we will learn together. And anyone who comes in just joins in with us.
And that's because we don't do it for us. We do it for all of us.
Right, and do it for the Lord, of course, ultimately. And you've had a minibus arrive today, haven't you?
Tell
us about that.
Well, for some years now, before COVID, there was a local day centre, and they contacted us out of the blue and said they'd really like to bring a minibus load along.
May I just butt in and say, initially, they just turned up.
Oh, yes, they did.
Oh, right, it was just out of the blue.
They had contacted Pontins. Mm. They'd heard somehow that there was something for adults with learning disabilities years ago. And they turned up, and we have been in touch, as Pete said, with them
ever since.
Right.
So
great ministry.
They came today, and they've already said they're hoping to be back tomorrow with another group of people.
This is a totally non-Christian group, and we checked that out this morning, actually.
And actually, there is so little, really, quality provision for adults with learning difficulties. People are stretched, aren't they, in terms of providing provision? So there's a real opportunity there for Christians, isn't there?
It is.
Absolutely. I mean, within the Quality Commission for adults with learning disabilities generally, they need to be looking at the Christian provision. And I suppose in a way, if we're going to be a bit cynical, we help them to tick a box. But they love it, and the leaders know exactly where we stand.
They heard
the gospel this morning, well and truly. And they said, oh, we'll be back tomorrow.
Right, okay.
Yeah, so they're not put off.
Yeah.
We did say they don't get packets of sweets every day. It just so happened because we were talking
just
about
so they know
love.
Exactly what it's
it
like.
A little packet of love hearts really was quite well
I wanted, and now I know that, I wanted to come along. I do like a love heart.
We do have some spare ones if you want to come along.
Yes, definitely. Now, lockdown's been hard for people with learning difficulties, right? Tell us a little bit about that. And what some of the pressures have been over the last couple of years, especially. I mean, it's been locked down for, it's been hard for many people,
yes,
hasn't it? But especially for people with, for adults with learning difficulties.
Go on.
Okay. Well, as far as care homes, and not many people with learning disabilities are actually living in care homes where there's 24/7 provision. There are those. And we know of homes and communities like that which are still really living in lockdown.
Yeah.
Mm. They haven't been allowed out into the community, and the community is not allowed in. And that's very hard. We all know about the rise in cases of mental health issues over the time of lockdown. Sure. And that's always been greater for people with learning disabilities. Mm. And this has obviously exacerbated.
And missing out on those connections, friendships, regularity
of
familiar faces, so, that's all disappeared.
So therefore, for people who are in supported living, now I won't go into the differences between all these, but it has affected them in much the same way. And for people living with elderly parents. And the thing is that physically, a lot of people with learning disabilities are more vulnerable anyway. So there is that concern.
Right. Okay.
So it's for a good reason in one sense, but it's hard when it goes on and on and on. And there's no stimulation and people get institutionalised.
Yes, that was the word I was thinking of.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think what it did for us was actually help us to, like with lots of churches as well, think outside the box. How do we set up a YouTube channel, so there are stuff on the YouTube channel. We started doing some Zoom links with some of the leaders around the country. And I think the biggest thrill for us was Christmas.
We did some Zoom celebrations, which were wonderful. You know the Zoom wave? Everyone waves.
Well, yes,
when you've got three screens worth of people with learning disabilities and their maybe their families, and for a little while you let them speak to each other, and then the big wave at the end. But then, as Pete said, the Christmas celebration.
We were challenged by our trustees, you've got to do more than this.
Yeah.
And we said, do you realise how much work goes into this? But we're so glad that we did. And so we did a Christmas live stream. So that was in our own church in Newbury. And we had over 450
views when we last checked, as well as the 75-odd people in the church at the time.
Yeah. We had a church in Farnborough, Farnham, who actually called us and said, how did you manage that? It was like we were in the room with you. And I went, well, if you can find out how we did it, can you bottle it and send it back? But they were engaging, although they were on the screen, there were about 20 of them there. So now the call is, will you do things like that more often? Because it's brought people together, regardless of coming out of COVID or not.
We actually reached more people during lockdown by using those means than we do in a typical year by going around the country. We need to do both, but it takes the energy of doing both.
So COVID has helped us in some ways.
It's
provided an open door, hasn't it?
Mm. Mm.
Now, let's talk about local church life. So most people listening to the podcast or watching are local church leaders. Hello, everybody. And there'll be a lot of local church leaders who would love to do more for adults with learning disabilities who just don't know where to begin.
Yeah.
Mm. And it's just, in some ways, it probably feels like another thing to think about. It's slightly overwhelming. So let's help them. Let's help them think about how. So I said to you earlier, let's help them think about how church can be inclusive. You pick me up on that. And I want to hear why. Why is that the wrong word to use, Pete?
Okay, well, I'm not saying it's the wrong word, but I think there is another way that helps us to think outside the box again. When we talk about being inclusive, so often we mean come and be included in what we are doing.
Right, right.
Whereas we're saying we want the church to be accessible, which means horror upon horrors, we might have to change in order that they can then be included in the life of the church as a whole.
Okay.
So we run workshops, we run what we call know and grow workshops on the basis that we want adults with learning disabilities to know Jesus for themselves in a way that is appropriate for them.
Yep.
But also we want them to be discipled.
Let's just pause there because you just hinted earlier that, you know, some people don't, that's a barrier, that's a hurdle for some people to think, isn't it? That especially if you've got severe learning difficulties, is it possible for you to know Jesus? And we want to say absolutely.
Yes.
It might be manifested in a different way, and almost certainly will be, but there is that capability in every human being to trust in Christ, isn't there?
We want
to affirm that.
Yeah.
For some, it's just an obstacle to even think that might be possible. And it goes back to knowing who we are, the fact that we are all created in God's image.
That's really helpful, yeah.
And we are created to need relationship. We need that relationship with God, obviously, but with one another. But actually, if those people with learning disabilities aren't in our churches to begin with, it's very easy to think, well, we don't need to worry, do we?
Yeah. Or, well, they sit in the corner and they're smiling.
Yep.
Well,
so
no.
It must be all right.
Yeah. Whereas we want them to be doing more than that.
Thank you, yeah.
Because if they are believers, then if we believe that the gifts are there for every believer, and then we go down the route of if the gifts are there, why are the gifts there? They're for the building up and the encouragement of the church. Then is the church not bereft if some of the congregation, the body of Christ, are not using their gifts for the betterment of the body? And you think, well, I mean, I can think of a church. A little story, I'm good at doing these. It helps me to root what I'm trying to
say. It'll help us as well, Pete, so go ahead.
Okay, a church up in the Midlands, the pastor used to love the fact that one of the guys with learning disabilities would be on the door. And he used to hide in the wings when he was on welcome duty. Because you'd see a married couple coming in, perhaps the children as well. And he'd go, good morning, how are you? And they go, oh, we're fine, thank you. And he'd look at them both and go, no, you're not. And, you know, I've often said, if that had been me, I'd probably have a punch on the nose.
Yeah.
But they just laughed. And he'll look at the man and look at the woman and say, give each other a hug now. And the pastor says, he gets away with what sometimes he can't say. But they know his heart and he wants them to be in a good place before God as well. And so
they go off into church having made up any of the little niggles that happen in families. I don't need to say any more, do I?
We never had any of that, did we?
Not. No, our boys,
You've
boys
made it
perfect.
Through 45 years of marriage with never a sharp word or anything. I can see that.
Yeah, oh, dear.
That. Yeah. So just coming back to church leaders, you're beginning to show me that there's a real value in making church accessible and giving people with learning difficulties a place to serve.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So it's not just about toleration is not the right word. It's not just about come on, let's make people feel welcome. It's actually let Christian people exercise their gifts, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So that first day begins to go through all that.
First
and how do
workshop,
we first workshop and begin to look at how that might work, whether or not a smaller group would help as well. But then on the basis that there are things that every church can do for every service, and we have an A4 sheet that's just got about 10 bullet points.
So I don't want you to reveal all your your things so that no one comes and pays you for the training. Just give me one or two indications, things that I could think about, quite simple things I could think about as a church leader.
Welcome and mean it.
Okay.
Because many of my friends with a learning disability wouldn't know if you're just...
Right, interesting.
But another thing is to slow down.
Right, okay.
It's partly because very often people have a slower processing system.
Yep.
And actually for most of us, things need to slow down a little so that when we are welcomed, when we're told what might be going to happen, give people time to take that in. And if, for instance, if we have run a group meeting or something and we are coming to a particular point, give people warning of what's going to happen so that they don't have surprises sprung on them. Particularly for autistic people, that's really helpful so that they've got an idea and it gives them security. And in many ways, that's good for all of us.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's the thing I was thinking. So I was here early for a meeting yesterday, as you know, and was just snuck in at the back of your team meeting and heard you talking about a song that you were going to sing, a hymn you're going to sing, just going through line by line, carefully thinking, what does this mean? Will people understand what it means? And I was just really overwhelmed, really, with the care that you were putting into that. And then as I was talking about it later on with my wife, I said, we've got to do exactly the same with children.
Yeah,
and children's songs, and think about, you know, at the time you were talking about the concept of the world behind me, cross before me, no turning
That's
back,
right.
no turning back, and you know, would people understand the concept of the world behind me, the cross before me? And I sung a kid's song later on, which talked about the cross without any explanation, just said something about the cross, and I said to Celia, "My, do you think people, the little, really little kids who were there, would understand what we were talking about then?" And that was only because I'd heard you talking about that morning. So actually there's benefit across the church family, isn't there?
I think so, but then we would.
Yes, yeah.
But at
yeah.
the same time, do we understand everything we sing?
Well, indeed.
And the Holy Spirit is very good
yes,
at
I'm raising
working.
Up my Ebenezer.
Oh, yes,
and I'll be fine with that, yeah.
So what we wouldn't want to do is to explain every single word, no. every single line, but to give people an idea of what this song is all about.
Right, thank you. That's
is
really
it about
helpful.
Worshipping Jesus?
Yep.
And, okay, Lamb of God, that's a name for Jesus. Now, we could go into the theology of why he is called the Lamb of God. And is that really going to benefit those people yeah. in that situation and enable them to worship Jesus more? For some, maybe. But let's try and find the key
now,
truth.
That's really helpful, because what we're not saying is dumbing down.
No.
And I think that's what some yeah. leaders will be thinking.
Yes, they
some
do.
Some leaders will be thinking, I can only sing songs with one or two lines yeah. or got very simple ideas. You're not saying that, are you? Right. We're not dumbing down.
You might do it in a smaller group
yep.
because you're going that little bit further in just trying to help people to understand.
Yeah.
But in it's looking at those things within a general congregation setting that can help everybody to engage. I've often said that if we made a church accessible for a person with learning disabilities, we actually make it accessible for everyone.
That's really helpful, yeah.
And that way, you are looking at the bigger picture. You're not assuming that everybody understands. You're not assuming that everybody can read. We have a friend with a learning disability who can't read. And for a long time, he just had this whole concept that, well, I can't be a proper Christian. Because, you know, many of our churches are very wordy.
Yes.
And yeah. great that they yeah. are, but please don't assume that,
got you.
You know, a person, well, in fact, he's got many gifts
yes.
that are just but wonderful.
There's one song, which is a mainstream one these days, I cast my mind to Calvary with
yep.
a lovely chorus,
yep.
Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God.
Yes.
What you can do with a song like that is, yes, maybe sing the whole thing, and or at least the lead singers and sing the whole thing. But that chorus, just help people to access that. And maybe we encourage Makaton signing. Because for people who can't necessarily verbalize the words, to be able to praise the name
yes.
of the Lord
yeah.
our God.
Yeah.
His name.
It releases people to worship
thank
in
you.
Other
yeah.
ways.
Yeah.
And it enriches that worship for perhaps those who can sing anyway.
Right. So what I'm hearing from you, and it's encouraging to me, is there are actually some very simple things that you could do. So if you're not in a church of 200 with lots of resources, you're in a church of 30, you meet in a village or a town hall or whatever it is, there are some simple things that you could do
yeah.
actually to make all kinds of people welcome and ought to be doing.
Absolutely, but also they are just as valid in a church of 200 or 300
right.
or 400.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I think that's even more the radical thing about it, is we're not talking about a great long list of rules, but we're talking about very simple things that can change a culture of a church, that we look out for people. Excuse me.
You've become overwhelmed with the moment, Pete.
But
you don't assume.
Yeah.
I think you said, what are the key points? The other one is, and Peter's hinted at it already, is that not everyone can read. And actually, that isn't just people with learning disabilities. Somehow, our education system over the decades has allowed some people to slip through the net. There may be elderly people, and sometimes it's more evident in our village communities, but not
yeah,
solely
yeah.
there, in a city as well.
Yeah.
So to not make the assumption that people can read, it may change an awful lot of things.
Yes,
so
and of course, people these days, you might be in a church, they might be internationals, they might be able to read in their own language,
yes.
but not be able to read very well in English. So,
therefore, this is a great lead-in.
It is.
There's the new International Reader's Version, accessible
yep.
edition.
Yep.
There's only New Testament at the moment, but it is the NIV, shortened sentences, larger font. There are adult drawings in it. So the drawings, unlike a competitor, because this is done by Biblica, but the drawings are by the stories.
Okay.
So therefore, anybody can sit in church alongside others. They can be, those that can read, those that can look at the pictures and understand what is in the picture. They're on the same page, literally.
Right. So it's the NIRV, yep. LAR,
right.
And we'll put a link in the bottom of the podcast so people will be able to follow it through.
And the paper is slight grey tint. And for some people with dyslexia, never mind learning disability, that is a great help.
Yeah. And we're hoping Psalms will come out soon.
I look forward to it. Now, when I was first a pastor in Yateley, we had a group of adults with learning difficulties and disabilities. It was that the times we had together were some of the most precious times. I think I wept more in those services than any other times. And one of the things that really struck me about that, and it's some time ago now, so you can just kind of put me right if I'm wrong, I don't mind that. But I loved hearing stories. I loved hearing people tell their stories. And I think when I first did that, I listened with a critical ear, too critical an ear. And I think conservative evangelicals can do this. They're listening for trigger points, you know, this phrase, that phrase. And I found myself doing that because that was my background. That was my upbringing, you know, university educated. I was kind of looking for all the sort of the T's to be crossed and the I's to be dotted. But I learned and was humbled, really, to see how I just needed to listen to people's stories. And they became very, very moving. That's a key part, really, isn't it, of being, of welcoming.
Those stories are part of our meetings.
Yeah.
And so we encourage people, as we have done today, the guys that have got no faith and those that have. What's been happening in your week, this week? What's in your life that has meant something to you? What's COVID meant to you? So all those things were coming out this morning as well, weren't they?
That's right. I mean, Pete is the big storyteller, but he seems to be struggling a bit with his voice. Let me tell you about a young lady who we have known for many years. She was on the PCC of her Anglican church in the village, and apart from being a very, very loyal and committed member of the PCC and made sure that the whole agenda had been dealt with because she'd done her preparation, unlike others, there was one Sunday when she was asked to do the reading, and she stood up, and she knew that she was going to come to those words, Jesus wept. And she was getting nearer it, and she was building herself up, deep breaths, and then her lip, bottom lip, began to wobble, and she just stopped and gulped, and
the vicar walked across the aisle
and just stood beside her.
Just put his hand just on her shoulder and waited. Didn't fill it in for her. And then she went, Jesus wept.
And the whole congregation did as well.
And his comment was, and the sermon was preached.
I like the way, by the way, Pete, you couldn't stay out of the story.
I know.
I knew it was going to happen.
So did I.
That's all right, don't worry. I'll just mute you for a minute while you have a cough. We're kind of drawing towards an end. We've got 5 or so minutes left. I guess one of the things that will slightly scare leaders, I think that's probably the right word, is that when we talk about learning difficulties, there's a huge range of learning difficulties. And even within certain learning difficulties, there's a spectrum of different responses. And it can all feel slightly overwhelming. You know, I don't know how to respond. I don't know how to deal with this. And so actually not doing anything tends to be the easiest option. I think we're hearing it's not the right option. And we probably all got that conviction. So any wisdom for people who are just slightly overwhelmed with the complexity, wanting not, you know, to be careful not to do the wrong thing, say the wrong thing, that sort of stuff.
I think what struck me here at Word Alive this week is the number, first of all, that came to the seminar that I ran the other day. You don't always get lots of people turning up to a seminar.
Tell us
like
what the seminar was on.
Longing to belong.
Okay.
And that was the basis. Then we went through scripture and then began to look at other aspects of it. But I've never seen so many either come along to one of our meetings afterwards. And a number of them said, I'm so glad I came and saw, because I thought, yeah, I get this, but we can't do it.
But what churches can do is to think about the message they're putting over. Whereas a lot of churches will have a 3-point sermon, maybe even a 5-point sermon.
You haven't heard any of my sermons, Christine.
No, I haven't.
I did 10. Yeah, anyway, go on. Yeah.
Ideally, if there can be one major point, even if there are others that are spoken about, if there's that one point, and if it can be perhaps even said right at the beginning, but also at the end. So there's a couple of sentences maybe that people go away with ringing through their minds, and it won't work for everyone. If we were doing a meeting just for people with learning disabilities in a small group, we would divide up our programme, so 5 or 10 minute chunks, all with the same aim of teaching that one point, maybe through craft, maybe through teaching, through drama, through all sorts of different activities. But for the main service, if there can be that one clear point, and if it can be repeated, and maybe in a memorable way.
It's a technical term, but we chunk it up.
Okay. That is a
definitely.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. We're
but then it's small
that
bits
one.
That yeah. might be songs, maybe crafts, maybe drama, but they're all chunked up with that same aim running through.
And it's beginning to sound like, you know, churches could do with having a holistic approach. You are thinking about what happens on a Sunday, but it's good to have a smaller group as well, and maybe some effort there. It's good to think about how you might reach out into the community, serve perhaps a local centre or a day centre or something like that. So actually a holistic approach, of which the Sunday service is not the only part, but is a part.
Please.
Sounds as though it could be, you know.
Please include people with learning disabilities in the life of the church.
Yeah.
When the church has a barbecue or a day out, somehow it is so good to see how everyone can be invited and included.
Yeah.
Remember the mums and the dads and the siblings and the uncles.
Go
and
say a bit more about that, Pete. So,
well, we so often can get honed in on the person with a learning disability that we forget they've got brothers and sisters. And so often, if a person with a learning disability, they're going to be praised up because of something that they've done that's wonderful. And then so often in our churches and sometimes in the family, and it's no, you know, spite against the child that's able.
But the adult child.
The adult child in the case that we're working in, they'll not get the praise. And we all, it's longing to belong again, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's that desire to belong, but also to feel that we're part of it in a way that we're affirmed.
But I was going to say, it also means that sometimes the rest of the family can't do things because, well, so you know, John couldn't do it, so therefore we can't go, we can't do, and they are left out.
There's actually a real pastoral care and concern needed for carers.
Thank you. That's a whole
missing.
More subject.
Yeah, it's another podcast.
We do another day when we look at relationships, we look at mental health, all of those things that are so important.
Great. Tell us where we can find out a bit more about Count Everyone In. Where do we need to go?
We have a website, counteveryonein.org.uk.
Great. We will put the link at the bottom of the podcast and people can follow it through. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you. We've
got two days left or one day left.
One day left
of Count Everyone In here at Word Life. Hope it goes really well.
Thank you.
Thank you, Adrian.
Thanks for your wisdom. And people will have questions, but I'll really encourage them to follow through on the website and get in touch.
Thank you.
Great. Thanks
for
joining us.
Thank you. People.
This has been Independence, which is the FIC webcast. You can subscribe through all the normal channels. Hope to see you and for you to hear us soon. Thanks.
Thank you.